Welcome to the First Apostolic Church Podcast. Our church mission is to love as God loves, showing compassion to every soul, thus winning those souls and equipping them to be sent out to plant and to harvest. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope that you are blessed by today's podcast.
Oh, yes, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can return to your seats tonight. You so desire here this evening. Just a few things to think about announcement-wise. Amen. As we come into the weekend, say thank you. I will do this. He didn't ask me to do it, but I know he would if he was standing here. Brother Reese, on behalf of him, for those who showed up to help Monday night with the extra. Right, with the extra that takes place. Amen. So we thank those that showed up for the extra, but we also thank those that show up every Monday just for the normal week in, week out, showing up on Mondays to keep a clean church for Wednesdays and Sundays and so on and so forth. So we thank you tonight, amen, for those and the extra hands that there were also on Monday night. Also, this coming Friday, amen, going to try to pull the weeds out of the landscaping and kind of refluff that and revamp that. That's going to be at 6. If anybody would choose to come to help me, I'd appreciate it. We'll have about, you see it's getting dark right now, 7:17. We've got about an hour, 15 minutes. If I have just a couple more hands, I think we could get her done. Get that out of there and have that refreshed looking, a little better curb appeal. Amen for leading up to Sunday as well. Also on Saturday is the Ignite Bake Sale, all right, from 8 to 12 at Bueller's Bilo. If you had intentions and plans of bringing something, you haven't talked to Sister Grace Mason yet, please do that. Be diligent about seeing her after service and talking to her about those things. And then Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, one service only in the a.m. I'm liable to just be like Jesus and turn over tables here tonight, stepping back on that. But nonetheless, on Resurrection Sunday, invite someone, bring someone, amen, we'll have a good time. And we're going to have American, what I would call an American tradition of just an egg hunt for the kids. It's not necessarily a resurrection tradition in my books, it's just an American tradition, amen, and stuff. And so we're going to do that for the children, amen, on Easter as well. Looking, because after Easter, we're in April, right? Here we are, the fourth month of this new year already. And so going into that, next Wednesday, we'll be back in Genesis series. And then on Thursday will be the first Thursday of the month, which means Power Hour, right? Under the new structure, so to speak, that starts at 7, from 7 to 8. That being said, all of those that are involved in that, come to my office after church, and I'll make sure you get your new Power Hour sheet, all right, for that. Sister Brenda, you needing to say something? All right. Absolutely. That's a prayer request we prayed for. So thank God for answering prayer. Amen. So a Power Hour then on Thursday. And then Friday of that first week too is we're hosting a Section 5 rally right here at our church. Our Section 5 rally will be hosted right here. Brother Ryan Champion will be ministering. And there will be an afterburner after that. And the stuff is up online concerning that, $10 for not the service, but for the afterburner and the food. So you can come and be a part of that. And so let's see what the Lord will do. Again, there's another pastor here in the area that's seen that, and he talked to me on the way to Menards, talked like he was going to bring a group over, and so forth. So let's just be ready for a move of God on that Friday. Amen. If you'll stand with me this evening, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Also, all of the calendar touch point people, I'd like to touch point with you right after service to make sure everything is in alignment for this coming weekend. If you don't mind, I appreciate that wholeheartedly. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. We could take a text from a few different places in Scripture, but I'm going to take it from here, amen, tonight. And we'll see. We're, again, this isn't Genesis. This is our communion service here leading up to Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. The Bible says, verse number 23. Paul says to the church of Corinth, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come.'" I don't have no fancy title or anything like this. I'm just talking about communion. Amen. This evening. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us have a mind that's mindful of him in the next little while. Father, I come to you tonight. I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, for us this day. I'm thankful, Lord, for this opportunity of this season that we're in right now. God, as we, Lord, pause and take moments of reflection, God, to Calvary, we take, Lord, moments to reflect about what that means, Lord, for humanity, for the church, for us today, even for us tomorrow. I pray, oh God, today, open the minds, Lord, of our understanding, Lord, tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus, to look, Lord God, of what's written in Scripture, God, concerning these things and how we enter into a time of, Lord, of honor and respect and reverence, Lord Jesus, for a sacrifice, Lord, that was given, Lord, long ago, but still yet relevant, God, for us today. And we'll not fail to thank you and praise you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight in Jesus' name. And so I take my text from the book of Corinthians. The Apostle Paul is speaking about some matters that they had concerning people taking communion or celebrating what others may call the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table. And all things were not totally perfect here in Corinthians or in the church of Corinth. And there were some things in the ways that they were approaching the Lord's table that troubled Paul to a degree that he felt as though he needed to address some things. And so when we consider the passage in Corinthians, it is really an actual observance of communion or observance of the Last Supper or the Lord's table. And so that isn't where it begins. It has its history a long time ago in the Old Testament Scripture. As a matter of fact, as we'll get to this evening, I'll give to you or tell you that I believe it has a history even before the creation of the world in reality. But going back to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter number 12 and Exodus chapter number 13, we read of really its origins and its roots and the fact that a Passover lamb was necessary. The shedding of that lamb's blood was necessary to be put up on the lintel and the doorpost to give salvation, if you want to call it that, or to the saving of the firstborn of those Jewish families into their household to keep the death angel from passing by in the sense of passing by and stopping you. They wanted it to pass over them, all right? And so it finds its origin all the way back then. The fact that there was a sacrifice, a body and the blood of that sacrifice that was for the sake keeping then of the children of Israel. It's not until we get into the Gospels and we read the harmony of the Gospels, we read about Jesus having a Last Supper with his disciples before he was ever crucified, before he ever went to the cross. And in that mode of that Last Supper, which would have been around the time, because we're leading Jesus' crucifixion, everything, we're leading into the season and the festival of Passover, that the Lord makes a connection really between the Passover and the Last Supper. He institutes something by doing this in the Gospels, and we'll look at that here in just a little bit. But when we look at it in Corinthians, we're looking at the idea that even in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is using Jesus' own words that he spoke to his disciples during the Last Supper, whenever he talks about this being the New Testament of my blood, or the New Testament in my blood. Those are the words that Jesus spoke in the Gospels. And so we have the Old Testament providing an origin, we have the Gospels providing a connection of it being instituted, and then in Corinthians we have the observation of it, or Paul giving a little further clarification on the proper practice, or how one enters into the type of reverence that one should have when they approach these things. Something that Paul declares to us in the opening verse that I read to you this evening is Paul says that I'm given to you what I have received of the Lord. Whenever I'm talking to you about the proper practice of communion, he says, I'm conveying to you what's been conveyed to me by the Lord. For number one, Paul was not a part of that original 12 disciples. He was not there when the Lord's Supper was instituted. He was still the bad boy that wanted to persecute the Christians everywhere. So, but if you'll remember, after Paul came to the Lord and the scales fell off his eyes and he received the Lord, he was baptized and all these things and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember that I believe it was Barnabas that tried to introduce him to the other disciples. Everybody was a little shy of, Paul. You know, usually whenever you want to meet with people, you're ready to take them out. And so, it's not kind of like sitting down at the table with, someone that would want to snub you out of this life, type of thing. You're not just really eager to sit down. And so they knew that he had this full-blown experience of salvation, yet they were still a little leery. And so the Bible tells us, and I think it's the book of Galatians, that Paul, for a period of time, had went to Arabia, I believe for 3 or so months. He was into Arabia because he wasn't getting that acceptance by the disciples. But while in Arabia, the scripture plainly tells us that God, not through another individual, but as a direct line, that God revealed and gave some revelation to the Apostle Paul. And so whenever Paul comes to the church at Corinth and he says, what I'm giving to you and what I'm talking to you about is something that I've received from God. It's something that in that Arabian little segue there, that he received some instruction, no doubt, about communion. Because again, he was not there whenever the other disciples were there for the Last Supper. And so he's recounting these words of Jesus to these individuals. And so when we talk about communion, yes, if you don't know, if you've never participated, communion is definitely about, remember, Jesus' body that was broken for us, and about his blood that was shed for us. It is all about that, absolutely. And it's one of those things, folks, I'll do this every time I talk about communion, probably till the day I die, but it's about Jesus' blood that was shed for us, not his blood that was spilt for us, all right? I all the time want to do that because people talk about, well, Jesus, they spilt his blood. No, this was not an accident. Spilt connotes an accident. Shed denotes purpose. And so Christ, the whole matter of the cross, it even wasn't a thing of them taking his life as much as it was him giving his life. And so I think it's important to go in with this mind frame. It's not like, oh, this happened to him, glad this could be put toward a purpose, good for us. No, that was the purpose before it even ever happened. Amen. And that was even before Jesus ever came into the earth as a child. But just as much as it's about considering our communion with God through his broken body and through his shed blood, it is also about considering one another. It's about thinking and considering one another, because through the ordinance of communion, we remember him, but we also remember one another. Because Corinthians tells us that when we've been baptized in by one spirit, we're baptized into his body. We're baptized into his body. Tells us in Corinthians how Jesus is the head of his church, but the church is the body of Christ. And so when we talk about discerning the Lord's body, yes, we want to consider the broken body and the shed blood, but we also need to consider one another. Even in the word of communion, this common union that we all have, yes, Christ being our Savior, but that also ties me and knits me to you when by the same Spirit you've been baptized into the same body. And so there is a consideration for one another as well, because the Bible says we are members in particular of this very body. And so with reason, Paul is then detailing to this group of people how they should approach communion. He is addressing this matter with the church at Corinth because, guess what? It's made up of people and it's got problems. And so Paul is addressing some of these things. He states that the problem in verse number 18 that he makes mention of in particular, I need to leave these things out, is that he says, I hear, you look at it, he says, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. So Paul says, we're going to be taking communion considering the Lord's body and his shed, and we're all a part of this body, and yet I hear there's divisions among you. And he says, so if we're going to come together for communion with him and with one another, we might need to take care of the division issue that is among us. And so when we look at the Greek word for communion, it actually means having in common. That's what the Greek word means that is translated in our English Bibles as communion. Having in common, partnership, fellowship, all right? So the Lord's Supper, that should have been a time of, here in Corinthians, that should have been a time of a fellowship and partnership and having some things in common, turned into a place where there were some people that were turned on each other. Some had turned this feast into a feast of division rather than communion. As a matter of fact, the Bible speaks that there were some that were coming in, and sometimes in these settings there was also a meal with the communion that was participated in. That's even the case with the Last Supper. But nonetheless, here they would come, and some would come before the other, kind of edge their way through. It's almost like, put it in terms like this, it'd be only like someone coming, you know, to a potluck with their own tray and sideboards on it, and they going through first, and they're going to get everything there is to get, and you're going to get, you know, the crummy old, you know, egg over here to the side. They don't even have any filling in it. It's just the white, because they scoop that out. You see what I'm saying? There is no respect. There is no consideration for one another. And in that fact, there were some that came that had a higher socioeconomic class, some a lower. And so those that had the higher had a certain sense of entitlement, felt like they were entitled to certain things, and they were really not giving consideration to those with less. And as a result of that, there was a division among the people. And this is the way that they were going to approach then communion with. We're the body of Christ. There's a limb, there's a leg, there's an ear. Right? So the Bible says in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 28, says these words, that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. I want you to just consider some of these scriptures I'm going to push over on our side of the plate tonight so we understand. Jew, not Greek, bond nor free, all right? That those lines, when we become a part of the body of Christ, I said this before, but we become Christian, right? We're Christian, huh? Right? You might have been a Gentile Christian or a Jewish Christian or a female Christian or a male Christian or whatever, but the fact of the matter is we now submit our identities to the identity of Christ. All right? And we're part of this body. We're one. Communion. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16 and 17. This is another part that speaks to the fact of communion. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The question is, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, verse number 17, for we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Again, there's this concept, amen, of a oneness that's even in the body of Christ. A oneness, even symbolized by the one body and the one blood, amen, that we partake of even tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit Are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit, verse 25, that there should be no schism. The word there means that there should be no split, no gap, no division, all right, in the body, that the members should have the same care, one for another. So again, it's not just about me thinking about Christ in this moment. It's about thinking of each of our place in Christ, a part of this community called the body of Christ, that there should be no schism. I can't even say it now. Schism. With that in mind tonight, then, as we enter and come to a place of communion here this evening, and we take a time before we get to that later of examining ourselves, as Scripture says, and we go through a time of repentance, that'd be a really good time that within the body here, if there is any schism, to let the blood cover that schism, right? And let there be healing that would take place there. Some of the Corinthians, again, they were having, like in verse 21, almost like some type of lavish private supper, while some of the others seemed to go along that were poor, excluded. He says in verse 21, for in eating everyone taketh before the other. Well, that isn't consideration. His own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunk. And again, many times there were meals that were accompanying these things, and there was just no respect among one another. In Matthew chapter 26, where we read about the Last Supper, in one of the places of the harmony of the Gospels, we have the bread being present. We have the fruit of the vine being present. Jesus is doing this with his disciples. They are sharing in their meal. They are having communion one with another. And so our remembrance during this time, again, is of course, is that Christ died for all humanity. Everybody say all. Again, all humanity, but not for a certain group of humanity. Discerning the Lord's body. He didn't just die for white people, and he didn't just die for Jewish people, and he didn't just die for females. Right? But for every, we're discerning that the Lord's body is very multifaceted and multicultural. And if you can't compute that right now, I'm sorry. Heaven's not going to be interesting to you, where the Scripture says there's a number that no man can number of every nation and race and creed. Amen. And so one of the ways that they failed to examine themselves, that Paul's speaking of here in Corinthians, one of the ways in which they failed to examine themselves and participate in an improper manner is the Bible says they participated unworthily, all right, unworthily. And we'll probably look at that here again in just a short manner. We'll talk about that word unworthily, which is an adverb and not an adjective. Amen. And they failed, the Bible says, to discern the Lord's body, not just his physical body, not just the Lord's sacrifice, but his body, namely the church. They didn't consider and treat one another with the respect that was needed. There was isms and schisms and divisions and all the isms going on among them. And so Paul recommends a solution to this by telling them in verse number 33 that when they come together for this purpose to eat, he says, tarry one for another. In other words, accept or receive one another. Not just in the sense of a tarry as a wait, but be accepting, be inclusive with one another. And so I said as I started tonight, we said, well, the origin of this goes back to Exodus. Again, I believe we can take the origin of this all the way back before creation. And the reason why I say that is because the body and the blood was on the mind of God before he ever spoke the first thing into existence. We know, we've looked at it before in many of our different studies, but John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Greek word for word, follow me here now, the Greek word for word is logos. There are basically two regular used words in the New Testament for the word word. Okay? I'm pausing for, intention. They're not interchangeable. These two words are not interchangeable. They're not the same. They're not interchangeable. They each come from two different Greek root words. Logos, listen to this. Logos emphasizes the conceptualization stage, such as thought, reason, all right? Thought and reason. Logos is the thought, it's the reason, it's the plan, it's the purpose. It's where we get our English word logic from, logos. The other word that is used for word in the New Testament is rhema, all right? It stresses the articulation or the utterance stage of communication. So on one hand, you have the word, which is the thought or the reason. On the other hand, you have the materialized articulation, the spoken thing. That you have whatever the thought was materializing, whatever the reason was materializing. But in the beginning was the word, the logos, was the thought, was the purpose, was the reason, the plan. In the very beginning, with God, was God. Amen. And the reason could be there. How in the world? The reason, the thought, the plan was materialized when Jesus came among you and I as flesh. When the word, that thought, that reason, that plan materialized as Christ Jesus and became flesh. As John 1:14 tells us that the word became flesh, right? Amen. As Timothy tells us how God was manifested in the flesh. That word, that plan, that reason materialized whenever the word became flesh. The thought was materialized. God was in Christ, as we've been looking at in our mission statement, to wit, that was God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so that reason and that thought was all the way back then, but it materialized in the New Testament when baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger. What's that mean, though? Christ Jesus, right? He has flesh and blood. Huh? He has flesh and blood. It was necessary to have that for the remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But the blood had to have a container. That container was the body. Not only that, the Bible tells us how Christ came in the likeness of humanity. He became a partaker of the flesh and blood, Hebrews says, of humanity. Well, if God had this thought and this plan from the beginning of a body and blood, that even Revelation 13 tells us, talks about how the book of life, speaking of this lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, then I submit to you tonight, this whole concept of communion, so to speak, happened before one thing was created. It was already the thought, the plan, and the purpose of God from the very beginning of time. Because listen, Adam and Eve didn't sin, and then God had to scratch his head and think, well, now what are we going to do? No! Before they ever sinned, he already had the remedy. But before the first transgression, woo! And I know I say this all the time, and someone's going to learn it and be able to regurgitate it when they need it. But God operates on this plane of eternity, right? Whenever Jesus was born, Jesus subjected himself. God subjected himself to time, amen, through Christ Jesus. He had a birth date, and he had a death date, and yeah, he resurrected too. But what I'm looking at is this. He subjected himself to time. What I'm saying is the plan that was on God's mind in the beginning, in eternity, there's no end, there's no beginning, in eternity, it was already a done deed. This is the way God uses time. God uses time to reveal what he's already accomplished in eternity. That's the reason why when Isaiah even talks about that a virgin shall conceive, that actually in the Hebrew it's the virgin. It's not just there's some just some arbitrary virgin, but he had his mind already on Mary. Okay, communion. This good. I like to talk about that type of stuff, man. That's great stuff. And so, the thought of a lamb was already on the mind of God in the beginning. It materialized when Jesus was born. John even rightly said, we looked at this in our John series however long ago, that even whenever John the Baptist identified the Lord, and it was during a season of Passover, that he said, behold the Lamb of God, when everybody's minds were thinking about lambs because it was during Passover time, and here walks Jesus by, he says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. What was the connection? Because every good Jew knew Passover is when the Lamb was slain, for the safety of the nation of Israel. Not only that, through all their sacrifices, that morning, all these things culminate together. But whenever he said that, he said, behold the Lamb, and he was speaking of Jesus Christ. So the very thing that God was preoccupied with before creation, leading up to Jesus' birth, amen, his death, all of that, he wants you and I to remember. He wants us to remember, right? The body. And remember the blood. Folks, if this is something that's been on his mind, I can't say from the beginning, like, if this is something that's always been on his mind, then he wants it on his church's mind. The body and the blood. His church. Why so much so the church? Because in Jesus' life and ministry, his ministry that he lived here upon the earth, you know, he spoke mountains and rivers and animals, all these things spoke into existence. But when we talk about the church, if you understand me in these terms of mountains, animals, all these things, the church was the only entity on earth that cost God something beyond just a spoken word. Because he purchased the church, the book of Corinthians tells us, with his own blood. God purchased the church with his blood. And if you're going to have blood, that necessitates by default a body. Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to be mindful of this. Because it's part of all of this and what took place that we're celebrating this weekend. That was the purchase price for the church. Amen. And so he wants our minds to be consumed with the very thing that his mind has been consumed with. And so even Paul was in a constant practice of this. Why do you think that even in his epistles you oftentimes see him writing? He says, if I don't know anything else among you, save Jesus Christ. You've heard him say it. Save Jesus Christ and him crucified, or the cross. I count all these things as dung, except whenever I'm considering, I think about Christ and remembering Christ. What's he talking about? Because when he's talking about except all these things and do whatever except for knowing that Christ Jesus and him crucified, because there's two aspects there. Remembering Christ Jesus, number one, a body, but remembering the crucified Christ gives us blood. So he's remembering the purchase price. Purchase price of the church. The only thing that God ever bought with his blood was us. So we're not told in Scripture, as far as the detail, we're not told how often to practice communion. We are told here, Paul to the church at Corinth, he says, as oft as you take the cup, or as oft as you do the bread, as often as you do these things, do these in remembrance of me. As oft as you do them. We don't do it every Sunday. I suppose a person could, but there's sometimes when you start doing something, if you do something so often that's supposed to be special, then it loses its specialty. And it can just become a form and a ritual, and you're going through a mechanics and being unmindful of what you're doing. Now, if we were to use even Passover as a thing, Passover was a festival that took place once a year. So I believe you could do it at least once a year, or you could even do it more than that. The Bible speaks of in Acts chapter number 2 and verse 42, talking about they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in breaking of bread, which could relate not just to sharing the meal, but also sharing in communion. So, again, we're not told how often, but when we do. It's not a if we do it, it's just when we do it. All right? As often we do it, we'll do it in remembrance of him. All right? And remembering also, you know, with Passover, that coincided with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. That coincided with their deliverance and commemorated that time of deliverance. And so if another thing that we need to be mindful of, being Passover, being the origin of all that, remember the deliverance that came to you by virtue that there was blood and body available in your spot. It brought deliverance to you. It took you from bondage of sin. The verb remember encompasses more than just merely remembering the facts of body and blood. But we need to remember, which when we do, there should be conjuring up inside of us a response of worship and gratitude. I mean, I'm not just looking back at Calvary and thinking, oh, Jesus died on the cross. No, I'm thinking that. I'm putting myself in the Apostle John's shoes as though I was standing right there. And I'm hearing those cries from the cross. I'm seeing the blood trickle down and just hang off his toe before it drips and hits the ground. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm thinking about how that should have been me. And that puts me in a frame of mind then that it's not just some event or some fairy tale that's been written about. It was an actual thing that took place in my stead. And when I think about that, it gives me a chance to be worshipful and have a heart of gratitude and honor and respect for what has been done. Folks, here's what we got to watch in the church is that the cross just becomes owed to us. We got to be very careful that the cross loses its vigor for our lives. Oh, the cross. That's all they ever talk about, the cross. Yeah, that's what we talk about because it made the difference. Him getting back up made the difference. There would be a total different history for mankind had it not been. So, yes. So, again, that's where we got to backpedal, not just get the cross, you know. It just becomes a secondary word with no meaning or resurrection. It becomes so common to us. Amen. So we want to be responsive. We want to be responsive with praise, adoration, because of what we have recalled. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. For as often, again, not a question of if but when, verse 26, as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew. All right? The Greek word that is translated shew. I'm not talking about S-H-O-E, S-H-E-W, means to proclaim, preach, teach, declare. All right? As often as you do these things, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. So when we do this, we are given a proclamation. We're teaching. You're a preacher tonight when you do this. You're declaring the Lord's death through the bread. And we say broken because their services would be different than ours. We got individual wafers on top of each of these cups. Isn't that nice? But they would have a piece of bread that they would break. Huh? A piece of bread that they would break off. So and so forth. And so there's a few things happen whenever we take communion. What we consider, yes, we are looking back to Calvary. It's conjuring up some gratitude. It's conjuring up some thankfulness over what took place. But also, we're looking in the past, but also we look in the present because we're examining ourselves. We're examining our relationship with the members of the body. Uh-huh. And we're considering our relationship with one another. Right? We're doing that. We're considering that. We're examining ourselves. We're looking at relationships with others. But notice the scripture. He said, you to declare or you preach the death of the Lord till he come. So communion is not just about looking backward. It's about looking forward. Because if you read the text of Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, and he hands them the bread, and he hands them the cup, and says, this is the New Testament of my blood. He goes on in the next verse and says, I will not drink this with you again until I drink it in my Father's kingdom. Which is really a reference to the marriage supper of the Lamb that will take place after rapture. He says, I drink it with you now, but the next time we drink this, the next time will be that day. So what's that pointing toward? something still yet in the future. So as I take this, I'm not just reflecting upon what he did. I'm reflecting on the next time that he's going to be involved, amen, in this act at the marriage supper of the Lamb, amen. And listen, these things here, this is not the literal body of Christ. This is not the literal blood of Christ. We do not believe as you take this bread and this fruit of the vine that it turns into the body of Christ or the blood of Christ. They're simply emblems. For that matter, whenever Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper with his disciples, crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection had not even taken place yet. Yet he said, take, eat. This is my body that's broken for you, and this is my blood that is shed for you. And someone's saying, well, how in the world can he speak in those terms of present tense, like this is what has been done for you when it's not been done yet? Again, remember, God, Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. Through the veil, he could split through the veil of time, and in eternity, it was already a done deal. He was just using the time clock to reveal it. Amen. And so they, knowing Jesus is standing right there, know, well, there's his body and there's blood coursing through his veins. They knew even as they took it that first time, these are emblems. These are emblems. Amen. Verse number 29 of our text. I need to go. Hallelujah. For he that eateth and drinketh, here we are at that word again, unworthily. Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Again, unworthily is a different word from unworthy. Unworthily is an adverb, right? It's an adverb that's bringing more color to a verb. Unworthy is an adjective, which would describe a noun or something like that. And so we're not saying he that is unworthy cannot take communion. That was the case. We all just might as well turn the lights out and go home right now because none of us are worthy. But unworthily is speaking about the manner in which you are approaching this night. Reverently, irreverently, disrespectfully, lightly, or with a concern of its meaning and the gravity, amen, of what we are remembering and thinking of here. We're not talking about being unworthy. We all got that cross to bear, but doing it in a unworthily manner, which were some of the cases that was going on here in Corinthians. They weren't taken serious or wasn't really taken in consideration, the remembrance of all that was taking place here in the scripture. Amen? And so this relates to the manner in which we're taken, because this isn't a joke. This isn't, well, you know, I skipped supper tonight for I could have this. No. No, 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 no. There should be a reverence. It's not about who may take these emblems, but it's about how, the manner in which we take these emblems. Again, this is because the Corinthian church were just being foolish as they approached the Lord's table. They were being disrespectful to what the emblems represented. They were being disrespectful to one another, for that matter, and they had taken it lightly. And so we got to remember the spirit, the attitude in which we approach the table of the Lord. And in order to do that, Paul said it right here in Scripture then, that if we're going to come to the Lord's table, then verse number 28 tells us, but let man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So there it is. How can we make sure that we're in the right frame of mind as we approach this? Take time to examine yourself. Take time to examine your motive. Take time to, you know, bring every stray thought to captivity. That we're mindful of what we're doing. Let every man examine himself. And note, he says, after you've done this, he doesn't have no hesitation here, and so let him eat and let him drink. Amen. Tonight, before we take, we're gonna repent. Go to the Lord and repent of our heart and our mind, that God would just wash us and cleanse us. Amen. All right? We're not going to rush into it. I mean, I've been taking 37 minutes to get to this point, you know. We're not going to rush into this. Amen. But we're going to understand why. And it reminds me, doing this is just being mindful of why you do what you do. That's another reason why all the Old Testament sacrifices, if it was a sin offering, it was a particular animal of a particular year that was supposed to be brought. Or if it was a Thanksgiving offering, it was going to be a different type of animal of a different year. And this is how, why are all these detailed things about what you had to do? Because all those things considered worship. And God says, I'm going to make them detailed enough that a person's got to think about what they're doing. Because I don't want someone coming in with just mindless worship. Huh? It makes them have to be mindful about what they are doing. And so communion, amen, examining ourselves causes us then to be mindful about what we are doing. Jesus, again, did communion with his disciples before he was crucified. It wasn't anything magical about the bread or about the fruit of the vine. Again, they were just emblems of communion with him. Amen. And the disciples really only knew a little what the Lord was really saying anyway. When he said, this is my body broken, and this, because he only alluded to a few different times, it's like, you know, I'm going to be taken by the chief priests and the scribes, and I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of men. He tried to drop little nuggets for them about what was taking place, but I don't know if any of them really grasped the full totality of what was going to take place. And yet he's explaining this to them. Take this bread. It's my body. Take this fruit of the vine. It is my blood. But the Lord knew perfectly well what was on the horizon. And yet their hearts, right? Their hearts weren't hid from God. He knew Peter was going to deny him. He knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew before the night was over in Gethsemane that they all were going to flee from him. He knew when it was all said and done, there was really only going to be John standing at the cross from what we can see in Scripture, and that Peter would be at a distance. But he still let them enter into this time of communion. So we cannot tonight afford to turn away from the remembrance of our Lord as he's extending the bread and has and the cup. Amen. A common item in the Passover meal was the lamb. It goes all the way back to Israel's deliverance. It was a lamb that was there. Spotless lamb to be killed, its blood to be applied. The lamb was to be eaten a part of the Passover meal. God told them to put that blood in those prescribed areas. And after they put him in those areas, the family was to go in the house and not leave the house. That's a good advice for us today. Once the blood has been applied, don't leave it. Don't forsake it. Anybody that's experienced the saving power of Calvary, once it's been applied, don't forsake it. Don't jump ship. Amen. And so here are the disciples, the Last Supper of the Lord. And notably, he gives bread and he gives the fruit of the vine. There's nothing mentioned that there was a lamb that was present. And you can do your own study and stuff on this, partly because whenever Jesus was crucified on the cross, many of the theologians say that it corresponds then when the lambs were actually slaughtered for Passover. So if he's having this meal, he's really having it a little before time that the lamb was even slain. But everything's there except for a lamb. Or is that true? Because sitting at the head of the table was the lamb. That in just a few short hours would be the slain lamb for them. So, just something to consider. Philip, in his dealings with the Ethiopian eunuch, I talked about this last Sunday morning, really ties to the lamb slain to Jesus. Again, remember, in Acts chapter number 8, the eunuch is reading in Isaiah. He's reading from the Scripture. He's reading this. You can read of it in Acts 8:32. He was reading, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. It doesn't mention Jesus' name in the prophetic book of Isaiah. As a matter of fact, most people would never even touch on it. They would just talk about the suffering servant of Isaiah 53 and 54 and so on and so forth. But I'm apostolic. I know who that suffering servant was. That was Jesus Christ. And you know what is also interesting? Evidently, Philip knew it too, because from the same passage of Scripture, the Bible says he began to preach to the eunuch Jesus. When the eunuch read of a lamb, Philip says, "Let me preach to you from that same passage, Jesus." He made the connection between the lamb and the Lamb of God. So I'm with Philip today. I'm not afraid to affirm, amen, who they were talking about. So we're going to take communion this evening. Amen. If you can stand here tonight, I'm going to pull this out of the way. If you have any sense of understanding, amen, what I have spoken of here this evening, you understand the gravity in which we approach this. And Brother Alex, and you guys can go to music, and we'll make sure that you're taken care of here, amen, this evening as well. But as many as desire to participate tonight, as we remember, again, remember, we're remembering Calvary. We're remembering that. We're thankful for what took place on the cross. We're going to spend some time examining ourselves, looking introspectively in our own hearts and lives. We're going to view our connections with the body of Christ, other people a part of the body, and we're going to consider one another. We're going to discern the Lord's body in that respect, but we're also going to look forward. It's like we have one hand on the past of Calvary, but another hand on the future of someday the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're bridging the two by keeping this in our remembrance of the body that was broken. The blood that was shed, the body was, and I say broken in a sense of figurative meaning, because the Bible says not one bone, even in the Psalms, not one bone of his body was broken. They came checking to see who was dead, how the other two thieves and the Lord, and they came by with that spear and they pierced him through his side. They didn't have to break a bone to hasten death. He was already dead because he had already given his life. But yes, that body was bruised, and yes, that body had a cat of nine tails that was brought upon its back with pieces of bone and metal that was in that cat of nine tails, that it wasn't just a little scratch that took place. It grabbed the flesh of the back, and when it pulled chunks of flesh, and it exposed skeletal structure. That's what I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember that blood was shed for my sin and for my sickness. I'm going to remember that. Amen. If you desire to participate tonight, as he's just playing something, if you can just walk through and get one of these cups. This is different this year, all right? On top, there's a wafer. There's one piece of plastic. You get to the wafer, the next piece of plastic, get you this, and it's real easy because you can throw away. But here's what I want you to do this week. Don't throw this away till Resurrection Sunday is over. Keep this somewhere in your home where you'll be able to see it. So as we go through our day on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and even Sunday morning, it's just reminding us again. Just reminding us again as we head into Resurrection Sunday. That body that was beaten and bruised and that blood that was shed. But you can go through, just pick one of these up, and then we'll do this together, right? Because it's communion. Whenever you put the wafer, and we put the wafer in, when we put it in our own mouths, everybody has the same taste in that moment in their mouth. The Bible talks about how bread, corn is bruised. We talked about that last week. And so you have all these different kernels of corn, they're bruised, and then they get mixed together. It's communion. You're taking something that's isolated by itself, and but it mingles then with another. It becomes part of this bread. All of those individual grapes that release that juice, and then one mingles with the other. Then whenever we take that fruit of the vine together, the same taste then is all in every one of our mouths. It's communion in the same moment. Amen. So as he plays, you wish to participate in this, you can grab one of these, and then I'm going to read some scripture when we do this, and we'll do it together. But before we ever do that, after you grab that cup and you grab that wafer, amen, can you just enter in a time of prayer right now? I don't care if you go back to your pew. I don't care if you do it at the altar. Let's spend some time and examine ourselves. Let's spend some time in a spirit of repentance. Can we? Hallelujah. Can we spend some time in the spirit of repentance? Lord, you know my uprising and my downsitting and my thought afar off. God, you're acquainted with all of my ways. There's not a word in my mouth, but Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The Lord knows us. God, I pray, O Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Remove not thy Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, God, today, thank you, Lord, for keeping your servant back, Lord God, from, Lord God, some things, Lord, that could have entered my life. Touch me, oh, Lord, today. God, stray thoughts and words, Lord, that have come out of my mouth and from my mind today. God, I pray, oh, Lord Jesus, today. God, the wrong spirit, God, that I have, Lord, carried, Lord, in my life today. Lord, or I've misspoken, Lord God, to somebody else. I pray, oh, God, that you would cleanse me. Lord, your blood is still impactful and effective even now. God, that it can cleanse and it can wash and it can renew. I pray, oh, Lord, search me, oh, God, search me, oh, God. God, Paul said that he died daily. It meant that he repented daily. God, there's things in our everyday lives, God, that we come in contact with. Things that we do, mishaps, Lord Jesus. Mistakes that we make. God, that I need, Lord Jesus, a fresh cleansing, Lord, today in my spirit. I need a fresh cleansing, Lord, today of my mind and my actions and my attitudes. Lord, I surrender to you. I'm remembering Calvary tonight. I'm remembering the body that was bruised. I'm remembering the chunks of flesh that were taken. I'm remembering the crown of thorns that pierced the head, the rods that you were beat with. Lord, the trial, the cruel mockings that you underwent. I'm remembering, Lord, God, the effort that you put forth just to raise yourself on that cross to catch a breath because your diaphragm and the liquids, Lord Jesus, of your body was filling up into your cavity. I pray, oh God, today, I'm remembering all that. You did that for me. You did that instead of me. You were my substitute, the perfect substitute. I'm remembering that. Help me, oh Lord God, in this body called the church. God, our relationship with brother and sister. Lord, I pray, oh God, today, let there be no schism. Let there be no division. Let there be no animosity. Let there be, Lord, no ill word or ill thought. Let there be, Lord, no gossip. Let there be no backbiting. Let there be no tail-bearing, oh God. Yes, oh God, and I'm looking forward, Lord God, to you coming again. I'm looking forward to the day, God, that you call your church home. Lord, and at that appointed time, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb. God, you with your bride, which now you call your body. God, you with your bride, which now you call your church. I'm looking to that day. It's not just what you have done. It's still what you are doing and what you will do, Lord Jesus, in our lives. God, help us to be faithful. Remain faithful, oh God. Remain faithful, oh God, to your word. Remain faithful, God, to your plan. Help us, Lord, to experience your death, God, through repentance. Experience your burial, Lord God, through baptism in Jesus' name. Experience, Lord, your resurrection. Amen. To receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Help us to walk with the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and temperance. I pray, oh God, today, and faith. Help us, oh God. Oh, yes, God. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you push up on that end that's kind of sticking out, it'll kind of break that seal. You take that first piece of plastic back, the wafer is there. I'm going to read a scripture here from Corinthians. It's Jesus' words that Paul's repeating as we take this bread. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You can take that wafer tonight. This do in remembrance of him. The body makes the blood available to you and I. If you take that other little piece of foil that's there and you bring it back. The fruit fruit of the vine, the cup, shed blood for sin and sickness. Verse 25 says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. It's the new covenant in my blood. This do. Mark said, it's shed for many, as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And take the cup tonight. Blood shed. Blood for sin. Blood for sickness. Can we just have a moment right here and with a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of appreciation, just through emblems, just through emblems, but if it can just somehow provoke remembrance. God, I thank you, Jesus, today. Oh, where would we be, Lord? We would be without hope, without God, without citizenship, without remission. We would still yet be dead in our trespasses and our sins, according to Scripture. But Lord, you change all of that. You change all of that, God, for us. God, when we allow you into the innermost parts of our life, it's available, we know, God, to every woman, boy, and girl across the nation. But just as the blood was shed of a lamb at Passover, those of the household had to strike it on the doorpost and strike it on the lintel. God, we had to avail ourselves of that which was afforded to us, the blood. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, today. Brother and Sister Mason, you can lead us to a song right now. We want to be thankful. We want to be thankful. We want to be thankful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't want this to become owed to me, God. I don't want this to become owed, Lord, that I would be indifferent, Lord, to what you did in that sacrifice. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Would you love me anyway? I don't.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about our services and activities, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with the username FACMC. Again, that's FACMC. Thank you, and have a blessed day.